Good morning. Welcome to Asbury this morning. I'd like to remind you, if you would, to complete the registration pads that are on the desks in the end of the pew, and welcome to all our visitors. While you're doing that on the pads, I have a few announcements to make. Our days of prayers continues. If you have not heard, prayers have been written by the pastors and staff of Asbury for the whole church to connect to one another, to God in prayer. You are encouraged to pray along with us each day through Good Friday. You may download a copy of this from our website, asbury-lr.org, or pick up a copy outside the sanctuary. We have a few things to talk about on the ministry fair. It will be Sunday, February the 7th, from 9:30 to 10:30. I believe the 7th is just 2 weeks away. This will be in place of Sunday school for that day. All are welcome. Sunday schools, volunteer opportunities, missions, Bible classes will be promoted. Refreshments will be served. This is about the discipleship as we enter the season of Lent. Please join us and explore how you might be part of one or more of the things that we're doing here at Asbury. The youth are selling tickets for the Valentine's banquet on Sunday, February the 14th, and that is in the evening. You may purchase those tickets in the Wilson Center. This is a great way, of course, to support our youth. I'd like to ask you now to welcome one another and pass the peace of Christ. Please stand. Join me in the call to worship. Through Jesus Christ, God has invited us to live in unconditional and transformational love.
God's invitation is offered to all.
Nothing we can do can prevent God from loving us.
Today we say yes to God's love and worship with joy and hope.
Let us draw near to God with open hearts, trusting in Jesus, who has opened the way.
Together with hope, because Jesus promises to be trusted.
All are welcome to draw near to God in faith.
This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it.
Now join as we sing Love Divine, All Love Excel, 384 in your hymnal.
Oh,
Please join me in the affirmation of faith from Romans. It's on 887 in your hymnal, or number 887. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword?
No.
All things we are more than conquerors through one who loved us. We are sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor anything will be able to separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ. Thank you, God. Amen.
Good morning. How's everybody this morning? How'd you like the snow? Oh, wasn't it fun? Did y'all go sledding? Yeah. Well, this morning I want to talk about fishing. How many of y'all like to fish? Yeah. Well, you know, when you go fishing, you need a couple of things, don't you? You need the right equipment, which is what? A fishing pole, bait, or worms, right? And maybe something to sit on. Yeah. Then secondly, in a boat. That's right. That would be good. Water. Water. Fish. Yeah. Okay. So when you go fishing, you know, you can't just read a magazine about fishing. You have to go where the fish are, right? In the water. Or in a boat, or sit on the side of a lake, right? Okay, so you got to have the right equipment, and you can't just talk about it or read about it. You have to go do it, right? You have to go where they are. And then thirdly, you have to have patience, don't you? Because not the first time that you throw your fishing rod out, it is not going to catch a fish, right? Okay. Sure it does, Karen says. For me, it does not. So I have to have a lot of patience, and that sometimes with fishing doesn't always work with me. But you know what? There was a story in the Bible where Jesus saw two brothers, and they were fishing. And do you remember what Jesus said to them? What did he say?
Throw the net onto the other side of the boat.
Right. But he also said, I'm going to make you what? Come with me, and I want to make you fishers of?
Men.
Good job. Fishers of men. You know what they did? They laid it down, and they went with Jesus. And so we are kind of like those brothers, aren't we? And so we have to have equipment to be fishers of men, don't we? We have to have the right equipment. So what would our equipment be?
To believe in Jesus and God.
Okay. So what would we need to take with us? Like we take a rod to go swimming, to go fishing. What would we need to take?
Hold on. A fishing rod.
Okay, but what do we need to take with us? What do we look at every day or every Sunday? What do we read from?
The Bible.
The Bible. That's right. That would be our equipment, right? And then do we need to go where people are and tell them about Jesus? Don't we? We just can't sit there and go, okay, I'm going to think that I'm going to be fishers of men and they're going to follow me and I'm just going to sit right here. We have to go where they are, right? And then we also need to have patience, too, like fishing, right? Because some people may not want to hear. But you know what? We're going to have patience that they're going to hear what we have to say and become fishers and become those who believe in Jesus Christ. So think about that. How can you be a fisher of men? Think about that this week. Let's pray. Dear God, help us be fishers of men. In your son's holy name we pray. Amen.
I'd like to ask you or call your attention to the prayer list in the bulletin if you haven't already looked at that. But we would also like to add Marilyn Thompson, who has been hospitalized, and the millions of people, our fellow citizens, who have really been traumatized by the snow all up and down the East Coast. Dear Lord, you welcome us over and over again back into your loving arms, even after we pull away, reject you, sin against you and others, and feel worthless. Your invitational love reminds us you are always there for us. You are always calling to us to share in your great love, to follow your holy path, to claim Christ as our Lord. Help us fully embrace you, to never look back, but to look boldly ahead with how you can fundamentally change us into committed disciples who align with your will and follow your love. Let us not stop there, God, but be empowered to invite others to experience your love in an incredible way with your children truly feel welcome. Please join me in the Lord's Prayer. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Give if you can, and we really mean can. That is our mission coming up. Each Sunday during Lent, we will collect a different type of food item in a can, and you'll be hearing more about that soon. Perfecting, sanctifying God, your partner with us on the long journey of salvation. You never leave us behind or forget who we are in the giving and sharing of our gifts. Lead us to share this journey with others through peace and grace of Jesus Christ. Amen. Please join in our hymn of meditation, "'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus," number 462 in your hymnal.
Thank you. Won't you please be seated? Such a joy to share with you from God's holy word this morning as we go to the Gospel of Matthew, the fourth chapter, and look at such a familiar passage to us. But we're going to be going to the 18th verse and reading through the 22nd verse. So may the people of God be blessed and inspired as they hear again from the word of God as we find it in Matthew 4, 18 through 22. As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. One of the things that Tony and I dreamed of shortly after we married was that one day we would have a place. And on that place we would have a pond where we could actually just walk out the back door and throw our line in and get a bite or reel in a fish or two. So 13 years ago when we bought our property, there was no pond there, but we kept to that dream and that hope, and we had a pond built there. And it's been wonderful indeed to just go out anytime we wanted and just go fishing. And we've really enjoyed having family and friends go out there and paddle around in the boats and the canoes and fishing and laughing and carrying on. But when we sell the place one day, I believe there is one that will mourn deeply over the loss of that place, and that's our grand dog, Morris. He's a flat-haired retriever, and he will fetch anything, even the bobber with the hook and the fishing line, which is not a good thing. Clearly, Jesus loved to fish. He lived in that area of Galilee, and quite often his ministry took him anywhere from Bethsaida to Capernaum, and he was in the fishing culture. Because he was in that culture, Jesus understood that who he was ministering to, by and large, were fishermen and not farmers. And he understood the importance of relating to those people within their culture. That fishing for them was not just their livelihood, it was their life. So when Jesus felt ready to begin his ministry, he went smack dab in the middle of the fishing culture. He went along the seashore. And as we read, he saw family members doing family business. Why, as he was walking along, he saw three, not one, but three sets of brothers. He met Andrew and Simon, later to be called Peter. He met James and John, sons of Zebedee. And later on, he would meet Nathanael and Philip. What happens next could best be categorized as short of miraculous. First of all, Jesus' words are an invitation, but not a hesitant or a hopeful invitation such as you and I might give for someone to come to our home or to a special event or even to enlist their help. No, Jesus' invitation was very basic. It was succinct. It was matter of fact. It was authoritative. Imagine a perfect stranger coming up to strangers with an invitation of come follow me. In such a voice that you almost dared not do it. With such intrigue, with such command, with such assurance that there was no doubt you would follow. And these people who did not know him responded to that kind of an assured, confident invitation to follow this fellow they didn't know and just go. The second thing that's so miraculous about these 11 words, come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Something so miraculous about these 11 words is that as they responded, they would change their life. They were about to break the mores of their little world. In this Jewish heritage, the father of the family was the head, and he was everything to the family. He had cultivated a business. And in cultivating that business, part of that cultivation was then teaching any heirs or sons about the business. And those heirs or sons knew that in that learning they were developing, they were cultivating the same business that they also would pass on to the next generation. That was their heritage. That was, again, their culture. That's just the way it was. Family was everything. You took care of them or you were ostracized. You were no longer a part of the family. So imagine the courage it took for these men to just get up and leave their daddy. You just didn't do that. Imagine the courage it took to drop their life, their livelihood, and to get up and to follow them. Huge decision, life-changing, but I have to ask you and myself as well this morning, as Christians who dare call themselves after the name of Christ, isn't following Jesus supposed to be life-changing? Now, these men were not particularly educated, but they knew the fishing business. And they knew the difference in fishing from catching. You see, fishermen know the difference between those two because they know that you can fish all day long, but not necessarily catch all day long. And you also know, as a fisherman, once the fish are biting right there, it would prove well to stay right there while they're biting. That's the way it is with evangelism. You can't really go out there and bring people to Jesus, my friends, unless you've been caught by Jesus. And that's a problem with our church today. And I don't mean just Asbury. I mean the church today. We've got people out there who have the mode of operation to try and bring people to church. That's not, as I read it, what this scripture is all about. That's not, as I understand it, what the mission of the church for Jesus Christ is all about. It's not about bringing in members to the church. Amen. No, what it's about is we're trying to get people to experience Jesus. We're trying to enable people to be caught by Jesus. You see, we're as guilty as any other church. We're playing church. We try to get members. We try to get them for their pledges. We try to get them for their leadership capabilities. We try to get them for their ability to volunteer to run the programs of the church. If we're honest, that's what we're thinking when someone joins the church. Oh, they'll make a great member. Where's Jesus in that? Where is Jesus in that? Now, don't get me wrong. Numbers are important. They're indicators. But what are they indicating? The numbers stand for lots of things. Today, the numbers stand for, as I look out, it must not be a very good weather day. The numbers at Christmas and Easter indicate to us who deal with the numbers every week, it must be Christmas or Easter. The numbers indicate lots of things. Surely you know there's church after church after church that may have more people coming to church. But are there more people in that church who are experiencing Jesus? Or are they experiencing church? When people get caught in the net of the Spirit of Jesus, they won't have to be reeled in by you and me. They will rush in to the doors of Asbury Church because they sense Jesus is here. Or they met you in a store. Or they met you somewhere else and they sensed you had Jesus in your heart and they wanted to be a part of that too. Because when they sense you have the Spirit of Jesus, they sense it because in that Spirit of Christ you hold in your heart, you were out there sharing Jesus so that then they experienced Jesus so then that they could also share Jesus. It's a family business. One generation cultivating the next generation to the next generation, just as in the fishing business. When you have Christ in your heart, those closest to you know it, they experience it, and you've taught them how to share it. Your invitation should mirror Jesus' invitation. Let's look at exactly what he did. The first thing was that we should do when we invite is be bold, not shy. Believe in your Savior and believe others should know him too. It's that simple. Not out of some sense of self-righteousness, of course not. But out of a deep human need that you want other people to understand that people are sinners. Therefore, people, all of us, are flawed. And Romans 3:23 tells us that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And we put a lot of stock in people. We have a lot of faith in people, as we should. But it cannot be that complete kind of faith that only Christ warrants our faith in as we believe. Because only Christ can heal you when others cannot. Only Christ can calm you down when no one else can. Only Christ can be present for you when perhaps no one else can be quite present like that for you. Not only be bold like Jesus was when he invited, but be authoritative, not bossy, but again, assured. In other words, you are inviting them, and you have to believe this, or they'll see it as nonsense. They'll see it as fake. You have to believe that you're about to invite them for the greatest encounter in their life. Have you had the greatest encounter in your life in knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? And if you haven't, why not? What are you waiting for? The greatest encounter of their life. So that their life is so much richer, nurtured by his presence. And the final thing is, like Jesus, we have to be intentional. Jesus was on a mission. Jesus wanted to bring others to him so that he could offer them the right relationship with God. Because you know, if you know anything about the Old Testament at all, you know that the relationship with God was grounded, founded on this fear and trembling kind of relationship. And Jesus said, no, you've got that all wrong. And God was just trying to protect you. God was just trying to get you to see how you should live because he loves you so much. And you just thought you knew better. The things that you were doing, the sins that you were committing, felt so good at the time, you paid for them later, and God was trying to protect you from the consequences of your sin. But I want you to know the God that is my holy Father, the God that wants to be your holy Father, who created you as his son and as his daughter, is a God full of love and mercy and grace, and he wants you to serve him out of that love, not out of that obligation, not out of that fear and trembling. God just wants you to have a life that's extraordinary, not ordinary, but with a new meaning in life, that life is about love and life is about eternal and abundant living. Abundant living. Oh, this culture has a myriad of ways in which we would describe what would be abundant living. I, for one, cannot tell you how grateful I am that the lottery is over. I got so weary of hearing the newscasters talk about how big it had gotten that day. And reading all the social media posts of, well, if I got the lottery, I would do la da 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 da. And then when it was all over, we were inundated with commentators who were saying, well, you know, they may win the lottery, but very few actually have any money after they've gone through it all. They get poor advice, mismanagement of it. And that, again, I was just like, well, yeah. Because there's a basic truth in our human living. What makes us think that if we do not manage well our blessings now, if we are not grateful for our blessings now, why do we possibly think that we would be more grateful or manage greater, more blessings? Having the abundant life Jesus promised has nothing, and I underscore that, nothing to do with wealth. In fact, Jesus didn't believe that being a great servant and a disciple commingled very well with money. He preached about money, my friends, more than he did prayer. Why would that be? Because he knew that was our greatest temptation. That we have this insecurity that is very difficult to be squelched. God gave us this energy and this love and all of the resources. But Jesus was teaching us that God comes first. Love your family. Take care of them by all means. Do your very best at your business by all means. But also share the blessings. God doesn't want us to be penniless or in want. God simply wants to be first. And God wants us to trust and be content. It is the competing for more and more that God has a distaste for in our living. God doesn't like to compete with anyone or anything. If you do not believe that, go back and read your Ten Commandments. God just wants things to get out of the way of God and let God rule your heart. That's why God is called Lord of our lives. A Lord rules over. One of my favorite fishing stories is about a fella named J.D. J.D. was the nicest fella, and we were serving a small town, and he got wind of the fact that Tony and I liked to go fishing, and he had a place outside of town, and great pond, stocked with lots of crappie and bass and all kinds of fish, and so he invited us out from time to time, and we looked forward to taking the girls out there with their little pink, little tiny fishing poles, Mickey and Minnie Mouse and things. And we would go out there, we would go fishing, have a grand time, and we would do this from time to time and always look forward to that invitation. And one day, J.D. decided that he was going to invite the whole church to come out and to go fishing. And so we did, and it was a long day, and everybody was having the best time, picnic, lunch, the whole thing. Great day. Very generous of him to do that. Well, it's toward the end of the day, and Tony and the girls had gone back to the house a little bit earlier. I mean, a long day of fishing for, you know, 4 and 6-year-olds was a bit much. And so I promised that I would stay with J.D. and kind of help him clean up and then be with him as he locked the gate and moved the truck and all that kind of stuff, load the canoe. And so we were getting out on the shore, and literally most everybody else had left. And I got out of the boat first, and we were pulling it up to shore. And as I got out, you know, naturally, if one gets out, the weight's at the end of the boat, and so, you know, you can totter a little bit. And so he was doing fine, though. And so I pulled up the boat just a little bit closer to shore, and it, when I did that, it tipped, and he went down into the water. And he began to thrash his arms around, and I'm going, there's not that much water. We're right here at the shore. But he was just thrashing his arms around, and he was a heart patient. And I said, J.D., are you okay? And I plunged into the water, and I was going to save him and all this. Oh, that's funny. And so I was going to pull him up and help him. And, of course, he was a really tall man. And he goes, I'll be just fine if you'll get out of the way. I think that speaks a great deal about the way you and I approach our life and our faith. I think God and his son, Jesus Christ, look at us in our hearts and our minds and says, you know, it'll be just fine if you'll get out of the way and let me lead. Amen. We get so timid and we get so shy and we get so wrapped up in ourselves and our inadequacies and our insecurities that we forget all we have to do is ask, because it's not about you and it's not about me. Who is it about? Jesus. But you know what we do? We make it about the church. We say, oh, you need to come and hear our preacher, or you need to come and hear our choir, or you need to come and see our beautiful, beautiful building. You need to come and meet our people. We're the friendliest church in town. And while all of that may or may not be true, it can't hinge on any one of those things. Because life changes, people change, things change. It's got to be about Jesus. It's about the invitational love of Jesus Christ. No gimmicks. No fancified sanctuaries. No ultra-modern facilities. No luxuries of any kind should ever substitute that for the love and the relationship in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. All the bells and whistles in the world, after all, are not going to sustain someone's faith. Your faith has been shaken. I know it, because you're a Christian and you're an adult, or you're a child. And there's going to be some point in time when your faith has been shaken. Has it been shaken in God, or has it been shaken in people? It might get people here initially, all the finery. But the church is headed towards something very sad indeed if it is based on gimmicks, campaigns, luxuries, and yes, even people and personalities. The church was founded on Jesus Christ, and the church will only ever live, survive, and thrive when it's about Jesus Christ. And you are the vessel for Christ. That's a huge responsibility. That's your responsibility and that's mine. That's where that fire, that's where that being caught, that's where you are the bait, so to speak, for catching, because of Christ living in your heart through your words and your actions. Everything we do has to be about Jesus. If it's not, we will be seen as unfaithful in Jesus in the worst way possible. And the worst way possible is selling Jesus short by selling something else. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. We're called to get out of the boat, out of the sanctuary. We're called to get out, and we're called to offer Jesus. And all we have to do is ask. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I would invite the congregation to stand and sing our hymn of commitment, Lord, I do want to be a Christian. Number 402, if there are those here today who would like to unite with the church in any of the ways we receive members, like to come forward and profess your faith in this wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for the very first time, renew that faith, or to pray, we invite you to do so as we stand and sing.
Amen. I invite you to turn your hymnals to page 48. We have a great joy and wonder this morning to welcome Ginger Robertson, who is going to take our membership vow and join the life of our church. We're so thrilled to have her, and so we ask her this vow. Ginger, would you be loyal to this congregation of the United Methodist Church of Asbury to celebrate and live out the life with prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness?
Yes.
All right. Hear that? It's a bold yes. Brothers and sisters, I commend to your love and care Ginger Robertson, whom we this day receive into the membership of this congregation. Do all in your power to increase her faith, confirm her hope, and perfect her in Christian love. Would you please respond with a congregational response?
We rejoice to recognize you as a member of Christ's Holy Church,
and bid you welcome to this congregation of the United Methodist Church. With you, we renew our vows to uphold it by our prayers, presence, gifts, and service, with God's help.
We will so order our lives, acting in the name of Christ, that surrounded by steadfast love, you may be established in the faith, and confirmed and strengthened to lay down the keys of life eternal.
Amen. Amen. Would you welcome her with a great welcome?
And I know you'll want to meet her personally in just a few moments. Again, we do have visitors here today. I know you'll want to extend the right hand of Christian and fellowship and friendship to all, and please receive this blessing. And now, God, we thank you. We thank you for Jesus, our Savior. We thank you for the opportunity to share Jesus with all we know. May we go forward not only in your grace, not only in your love, not only in your peace, but may we go forward in boldness, sharing Jesus Christ to the world. Now we go in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen.